Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
We're in the fullness of time moment, and the Lord, wow, thank you. He's unrolling the scroll, and it's flying everywhere. Yeah, and so we're in a fullness of time moment, and I love this scripture. He's unveiling the mystery of his will, that in the stewardship of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things in Christ, which are both in heaven and in earth. And I love this word because it's so pregnant with revelation. Because God's raising up one new Adam, one new man. The Hebrew word for man, Adam. Literally, the three letters make up a picture, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Literally, the Father's door into the waters. See, Adam was a governmental body. Adam was a body of dominion to break the chaos over the waters. Come on. That he was given the king's dominion. See, I've given you dominion. He was crowned with the king's dominion. He was the first king and priest in the earth. And we know he saw wrong and partook wrongly. And then his eye, the eye of his spirit, fell. But the last Adam came to redeem everything and restore everything that was lost. And we're in a season of the restoration of all things. And we're going to see everything restored. Come on. We're in a season of restoration. He's going to raise up resting places of the restoration of all things. He's going to raise up places of dominion that release the words of restoration. A people, he's going to raise up one new Adam, one new man in the image of the one true man. We're going to walk in the headship and the fullness. We're going to be aligned with him. And he says, in the stewardship of the fullness of time. And that word there literally means the management of a household. Specifically, the management, oversight, the administration of another's property and estate. And Leviticus 25:23, in the context of Jubilee, God said, listen, you're stewards of the land, but it all belongs to me. And there's times where God judges the stewardship of all of us. He judges, he comes and evaluates stewardship. He evaluates the stewardship of key holders and scroll holders and land holders. And then he looks for those that have been faithful with little, and he gives them more. He's looking for, I believe he's raising up a new breed of key holders, truth holders, those that could have stewarded well in the past season, that he has scrolls of light that have been reserved. Because all mystery is concealed light, concealed revelation, waiting for an appointed people at an appointed time that have been made ready to steward a scroll, that the light won't corrupt them. Come on. He's been waiting for a people to come to maturity in him. People that, because he's not going to give us something that will harm us and harm people. And so no longer, just like Saul used the holy oil to establish his throne instead of the throne of God, he had to find a shepherd on the backside of the wilderness whose heart was right, that would seek his will first. It says that David served the purpose of God in his generation and fell asleep. See, this generation has been marked for eternal purpose. We've been marked for divine destiny. Every generation has an eternal purpose. And we are in a fullness of time moment of human history. And God's looking for faithful stewards. He's looking to give keys of revelation. Come on. He's looking to give divine government to people. Those that have governed. See, all government starts with self-government. God, restore the garden within. He restored. He said, it is finished. It's all finished. He restored the garden of dominion in your spirit, man. And he says, now govern your mind. Bring every thought into captivity in obedience to my will and my word. He says, I've given you divinely empowered. He's not going to steward your mind for you. He's not going to steward your emotions for you or your flesh suit. And if we steward well here, then he can trust us to steward those gates out there. But if I can't steward these gates, if I'm going to allow thoughts of negativity towards my brother or sister, if I'm going to allow emotions of jealousy and envy and orphan Christianity, come on. Oh, come on. If our orphan factories got shut down about 2 years ago, and God said, listen, I'm breaking the fog and the haze of confusion over the last 2 years, and now the light, come on, now the light is coming forth. I've been saying it every place, but I have to say it because it's like a lightning that hit me when I was in Utah a few months ago. He said, son, I could raise up any donkey to prophesy. That doesn't, you prophesy dates accurate. That makes you equal with a donkey. I prophesied through a donkey. I can anoint any orphan Christian to raise the dead. Come on. But it takes a son to move in mercy. It takes a son to move in mercy and give people that did you wrong, give them. And hope that they don't get what they deserve, but hope they get mercy. Because that's when he can give us a scroll of light. That's when the body will stand up. Come on. And listen, that's the very foundation where justice and righteousness is released, is from the mercy seat. And the Lord won't let me off that. And he's raising up stewards that have stewarded their heart right. Now listen, if you haven't done it right, there's a divine delete button called the blood tonight. We push that button tonight. We say, Lord, be merciful to us tonight. And Lord, we bring it all under the blood. Every thought, every emotion, every impulse, you perfectly perform so we can rest in your perfect performance. And we can move from a place of divine rest. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to share a couple scriptures. When I saw the man of dominion, the angel of dominion on the wall, I almost shared it last night in Charlotte. I was with James when made that on the computer. And I was like, oh man, because I saw the 2 feet, one on the land and one on the sea. It speaks of total dominion. It speaks of the land, Israel, and the sea, the Gentiles. It speaks of total dominion. This is a place where the feet come together. This is a place that's called to release the dominion, come on, of Messiah, a one new Adam connected to the headship of him. It's head in the heavens. This is called to be a gate of dominion. Releasing words of dominion. Come on. But he speaks from the mercy seat. And so that's key. And most of us know the scripture, but I just want to hit it real quick. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Come on. His head in the heavens. And a rainbow, speaking of his covenant mercies, was at his head. His face was shining like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire, and he had a little scroll open in his hand. And it was little because he was a big, mighty angel. But the book was open, the scroll was open, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he called out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. It's like the spirit of prophecy. Come on. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing unless he first reveals his secret counsel to his bondservants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Come on. And he's going to roar from this gate when the feet are established. Come on. When we are established in mercy. Come on. And when he called out, seven thunders uttered their voice. I believe there's something about Georgia and Atlanta that's tied to the land of Israel. And I don't know what it is yet, but that didn't happen. And I know it has something to do with what I was prophesying about, a key that was put in my hand about unlocking a pure apostolic move. A pure apostolic move. Come on. And a humble people. He went, see, most of the times that the elite disciples, the elite, the cream of the crop would be picked by a rabbi. And he went to the outcast. He went to the places. He went to the Galilee where nobody would go. And he went to the places, the obscure places, to the obscure people to bring in fishers of men, to establish a net that would work. Come on. And that's why you're here tonight. And so I believe that this is the fullness of time, that things that were sealed up, that there's no more delay. That, and I know this scripture speaks of a fullness of time at the end of the age. But he's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And I say all the times, even if you look at the feast, you look at Passover, there's a yesterday, a today, and a forever. The yesterday was on Mount, you know, in Egypt when he brought them out of Egypt. The fullness of time was when the Lamb hung on the cross and declared it was finished. But there's a, you know, there's yesterday, today, and there's a forever when he'll come and he'll put his foot on the Mount of Olives and he'll part the Red Sea of the Mount of Olives at the end of the age. Come on. And there will be a Passover deliverance. And so there's a yesterday, today, and forever application for every scripture. And I believe that he's raising up stewards at the end of the age that he can trust with scrolls. He can trust with blueprints to build something in a way that's healthy. A couple more scriptures, and I'm going to turn it over to them. This is in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, that the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his bondservants, the prophets. And he was commanded to go take the scroll that was open in the angel's hand. He was commanded to eat the scroll, and it was bitter in his stomach, but it was sweet as honey in his mouth. And there's going to be things when you're given a scroll. Ezekiel 3 is the same thing. Ezekiel was raised up to be a watchman with a shamar mantle, with an elevated authority to prophesy over the nations. And he was given a scroll to eat. Same picture here. And it's, see, revelation is sweet in our mouth, but it becomes bitter in our stomach because we got to say some things that people won't like. Oh, come on. Don't look at me that way. We're going to have to say some things. What did he say to Ezekiel? I'll make your forehead. Don't fear their faces. What did he say to Jeremiah? When he touched his mouth, don't fear their faces. Come on. If we fear the face of the Lord, we'll fear no other face. There it goes. He's going to give you a scroll, and you're going to be eating it. It's going to be like, oh, this is awesome. But then you're going to have to say it. Oh, come on. I've had to say some things. I'm like, oh, Lord, you're not going to make me say that here. Oh, come on. Okay, I'm going to say it here. No. But years ago, the Lord had me say, the church has no authority over abortion because it operates as an abortion clinic every Sunday morning. It likes foreplay, touchy-feely Christianity, but it doesn't want to conceive a seed. Because if it will conceive my seed, it will change their shape, it will change their taste buds, it will change everything about them. Come on. Joseph could have no union with Mary until the Christ was birthed. See, the flesh, the seed of the flesh, can't touch the seed of the Spirit. But there's wombs that will say, let it be done unto me according to your word. Oh, come on now. See, there'll be things that the Lord will put a scroll in your spirit, man. It'll be like, bam. But then you're going to have to say it. But it will cut. You see, the Lord's going to restore the apostolic gospel out of an apostolic vessel that will release a sword of light that will cut cities to the heart. Come on. He's going to restore the apostolic gospel and the apostolic messenger. And that will turn the world back upside down once again. Come on. He's going to restore lampstand cities that will shift culture. When Ephesus, when 12 men got baptized in the Holy Ghost and Paul camped out in that city for 2 years, it said the gospel went throughout all of Asia. It shut down the Diana trade system and a riot broke out. It shifted trade in the whole continent of Asia out of one lampstand city. Unusual miracles went forth. And the Lord says, I'm going to restore lampstand cities, but I'm going to first restore my walking lampstands that burn with my seven spirits. Come on. They shut out the artificial light, that the only light they have in their temple comes from the seven spirits of God. Come on. No more human wisdom, but their head is in the heavens. And they will burn. They will be given the scroll. And God says, the mystery of God will be finished. That's the very word that Jesus declared on the cross. That word, telos, it is finished. It literally speaks of a culmination point at which one stage ends and another begins. Do we discern that we've come to the end of one stage and we're coming to the final stage, the last witness? The good and faithful witness is raising up his body. We're going to take the witness bench. Oh, come on. We're going to take the witness bench. One generation is going to release a light to every tongue, tribe, and nation, and they will be without excuse. He is going to raise up the last witness to take the witness bench, to testify. The mystery of God is going to be unrolled. Mystery is concealed light waiting for a people made ready at an appointed time, a fullness of time, come on, that will steward rightly and righteously. And that same word, until we all come to the unity of the faith, which means the lifestyle of the Son of God, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a telos, a perfect, a mature, a finished man, to the mature stature of the fullness of Christ. That speaks of revival, man. Standing up. One generation is going to stand up. One of the most prolific prophets said he would stand up in Atlanta. He would stand up in Georgia. That's why it's so difficult here. That's why he'll let you have Christian clubs called the church. He'll let you have Christian clubs called the church with formula Christianity. But it's time to get off our formula. You know, babies drink formula. I'm a part of it. I'm not talking to you or I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to me and all of us. We're all together in this. This is not looking down on any other people at all. But we've come to the end of one stage. And now we're going to a place we've never been in Messiah before. A place reserved for one generation. And one generation is going to come to maturity in Christ. Come on and stand up. And they're going to be a steward of the mysteries of God in the fullness of time. And I believe we're here on purpose because this is a place that God wants to unroll that scroll. Now, Hebrews 11 uses that same word. Verse 39, all these have obtained a witness. All the heroes of faith, they obtained a witness through faith, but did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us that they should not be made telos, finished, complete, apart from us. And then he goes on, therefore, in light of this, in light of this, listen, he was speaking to a generation. The whole book of Hebrews is really ascending to chapter 12, to a climax moment. Everything said, a better covenant than Moses, a better priesthood than Levi, a Melchizedek, you know, that, listen, move on, you know, to maturity, get off the milk and move on from the elementary doctrines and move in to the fullness. And it's all leading to the governmental mountain called Zion of Hebrews chapter 12, an apostolic mountain of sonship. Come on. And we like the end part of chapter 12, but we don't like the ascension because we have to ascend to maturity. Therefore, in light of this, laying aside every weight and everything that hinders and every besetting sin, and run with endurance the race marked out for this generation. Come on. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the Aleph and the Tav of our faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Come on. Listen, we've been marked. And it says, do not despise the discipline of the Lord because he scourges every son. You saw the belt come off in Charlotte. Listen, he loves us. Therefore, he rebukes and disciplines those whom he loves. But listen, will we move up that mountain? See, we can have prophetic words, but I call it the thens. We love the thens. Yeah, come on. I could preach a lot of thens and have you jumping out of your seat. But what we don't like is the ifs. Oh, come on. Because I can be a then prophet. A then prophet is 100% true. Well, it's true in what we're saying, but if we leave the ifs out, if my people will humble themselves, that means be teachable in the Hebraic mind. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, the Lord said to me years ago, any way that's not my way is a wicked way, even your good Christian ways, Ed Watts. Come on. And listen, then I will hear from heaven. Come on. And so you read Isaiah 58, the ifs and the thens, all the ifs and the thens. And so God's saying, look, I'm calling one generation. I want you to meditate on Psalm 24 and Hebrews 12 and Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those are hot cookies out of the oven right now. Seriously, They're all about, see, the Beatitudes is ascending in the sonship. Hebrews 12 is ascending in the sonship. Hebrews 12, it takes you up that mountain. And don't be like Esau that fornicated with the world and sold his firstborn portion. Firstborn was given the mantle of stewardship to govern the father's estate. And he was weary and he sold out for an easier version. It should have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. He was called to be a steward of the covenant promises of Abraham and Isaac, but he sold out for a lesser version. Come on, because he was weary and he just needed something to take the edge off. And God's saying to a generation, without holiness, without giving yourself, because holiness, come on, is not a list of rules, but it's giving ourselves to the very purpose our life was redeemed by blood. Giving ourselves to eternal purpose. And he's saying to this generation, see, I'm not releasing this just to you, that this is an elevated platform, releasing something into the airways. He's calling a generation to ascend the mountain of the Lord, to ascend that governmental mountain in the sonship. And he's like, give your eye to me. Give yourself to me. Because it wasn't time before, but now see the open door. See the open door of more and come up here and ascend. And he said, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And again, holiness is not legalism. It literally means to be distinct, to stand outside of time and space, to stand outside of time and space and be defined, not by the spirit of this age, but to be defined by the one, the Ancient of Days, to be defined by the Timeless One. Come on. I got to release one more scripture and I'll turn it over to Jamie because he's from the city that really talks about Jubilee. I got rocked in Philadelphia on the concept of Jubilee in Jamie's Jubilee tent every year on Independence Mall where the Liberty Bell has Leviticus 25. And I believe we're a Jubilee generation. And we know Jesus in Matthew 4, or Luke 4 and Matthew 4, he quotes, you know, Isaiah 61. And he's really playing off the word of Leviticus 25:8. See, they would blow the ram's horn on the 10th day of the 7th month. After 7 years, they would cancel all debts. It's called a Shemitah. But 7 times 7 years, the 49th year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, they would blow the ram's horn. And that comes from Abraham, where he took his prophetic mandate, his whole future, his prophetic word, his whole promise. And on the third day, he saw the place, his eyes were lifted. And he ascended that mount and he built an altar and he laid Isaac on that altar. Talk about a prophetic act that provoked heaven. He laid the wood on his son. God laid the wood on his son. And he was about to slay him and he said, stop. Stop. Now I know you fear God. How did he know he feared God? Because he obeyed God's voice when it didn't make sense. He moved from here and not here. You've not withheld your only son. And Abraham lifted his eyes. That means prophetically, he saw what he could not see before. He saw a ram caught in the thicket. Do you see the ram in the thicket? Do you see the lamb in the thicket? A ram. I thought Jesus was the lamb. Jesus is the scapegoat. Jesus is, you know, Jesus is all of it. He's all of it. It all speaks of me, he said. Jesus, why they blow the ram's horn on the day of Jubilee is because of this scripture. And the ram was a male lamb over a year's old. It was a mature lamb. Come on. Do you see the mature son? What did Jesus do when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Come on. He spoke from mercy. He was a mature son. And when he said, it is finished, that was a Jubilee verdict. That was a debt cancellation verdict. Now, the very concept of Jubilee, that only a son could redeem a lamb. A slave could not redeem a lamb. Every 49 years, not only debts were canceled, lands were redeemed. But only a redeemed son could redeem a lamb. And God is calling a generation up the mountain to release the sound of mature sons, because all of creation is groaning for you to come forth. And he'll blow through you and rend the veil over cities. Oh, come on. And that's what Jesus prophesied when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, free-flowing oil is what it means, to the captives, the opening of prison doors to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And we're going to end with this, that word there, to set the captives free or open the prison doors, is one word. It's only used here. It's a double Hebrew word. It literally means to see what you could not see before. It's used in Genesis 3:5, the first time where their eyes were open and they saw they were naked. It's used in 2 Kings 6 where Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. They were surrounded by the enemy, and Elijah said, there's more for us than there is against us. See, prison, why we have generations in prison, why the body Christ fights, I don't know why I keep saying this, I don't know if there's a lot of fighting in Atlanta or Georgia over positions and titles and territories. And see, we can operate mightily in orphan Christianity. But sonship moves from mercy. Sonship, and that's the gender neutral term, both male and female. Only sons can redeem lands. Orphans anointed with gifts of the Spirit cannot redeem a land. One generation is going to make it to the top of the mountain. And you are that generation. I am that generation. And I believe this is being proclaimed in this international gate tonight, because he's announcing something. And we are a convocation of kings and priests in this room. And I believe we're going to release the sound of the ram's horn here tonight. We're going to release a generation from captivity with the sound. Come on. The sound of mature ones that have come in union with him.
Because I have a slide, I didn't use it tonight, about mending the net. That word she just used. Because I saw the net that the Lord wants to bring the harvest in torn.
Yeah, that's it.
And so you need to pray into that. Because there's something about mending the net. A net that works, a true apostolic network. So you can't make that up on many levels. The other thing I felt,
watch the grid system and watch the power. We did something at Tribe Quantum with a group from Utah. It happened. We were out in the foyer, and we began to turn this table about the sound of round like we did here. And there's a word that came. It was the turning of the doorknob of opening this door that's been shut in Utah for like almost 200 years. And it was like a crazy, you know how you do these crazy prophetic acts? That day, a sonic boom was heard over Utah, and they don't know what it was. Watch what happens from this gathering. Watch. Just watch. There's something that's going to happen in the natural as a sign. And so, amen.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.